Welcome back to Washington Watch. We're broadcasting in Jerusalem. We're at the studios of CBN News here in the heart of Jerusalem. And I want to thank you for joining us. Amir Sarfati, my guest. And nice. Great to see you again.
Good to see you, Tony.
So, Amir, enemies have risen up against Israel and God's people since almost the beginning of time. How important is it to have a biblical understanding of that as we face this current, what's been described on the program already today, is existential threat toward us?
Yes. Well, first of all, it's important to know that God is in control, and throughout history, he's always been there for his people. So the promises that we have in the Bible are that he's going to get us through all of these things. Nothing surprised him. So it's important to hold a biblical perspective of the history of Israel in order to understand that he is still on the throne today, and he will carry us through this even in the future. So not to fret, not to think that we're, look, a lot of people that are holding the replacement theology, for example, they think that the state of Israel is an accident. Right. They think that it's not exactly the will of God.
So miracle.
Exactly. Okay. It has to be a miracle because it was against the law. Well, every time something like this happens, they think, okay, well, we may have been right after all, and they're not going to last. And over again, since 1948 through 56 and 67 and 73, throughout the Lebanon War and the Gulf War and all the intifadas and the second Lebanon War, God has been faithful.
Yeah.
And we're still here, and we're strong, and we will win.
It goes back even further than that. I was reading here this morning in my reading in our two-year journey through the Bible, reading in Numbers chapters 19 mm-hmm. and 20, Israel coming out of the 40 years in the wilderness. Is interesting. They marched out of Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness, but they marched into the promised land. But what was interesting is they sought peace. They just wanted to pass through the various countries, the regions, wanted to be on the king's highway. They wouldn't let them pass. They didn't pick a fight. But when the fight came, not only did they win, but they got all the real estate. It's like every time somebody comes against Israel to take what God has given them, Israel ends up with more.
And that's the testimony of Rahab when she talked to the spies in Jericho. She said, we've heard of your God and what he did right to all those kings. The rumor went out. And when you have a biblical perspective, you immediately births God fearing.
So let's talk about that biblical perspective for Christians. Not the folks here in Israel. They have a history. They know what's going on. But you have a lot of people in the church a little ambivalent about what's happening right now.
Yeah. Well, they are because, A, they let the Midianites feed them, the media, the secular media. So that's the first thing. And also, they are not 100% sure that God is going to push through this with Israel, that Israel is going to survive. They let fear crawl into their hearts and disbelief. It's important that we understand it's the same God who fought for us then that is fighting for us right now. Miracles upon miracles. Yes, October 7th was horrific. And yes, even the Holocaust was horrific. But that doesn't mean that God is done with us. It means that evil was crawling, trying to make its move, and God stopped it. And
let me just add to that, because the plan, I understand, in talking to some of the leaders and the various ones we've met with, that the plan was to occupy.
Absolutely. They have occupied a portion of the land for 3 days. We're talking about dozens of Israeli settlements, and a few of the military installations were occupied.
Because civilians actually came in behind the Hamas army.
Yes, exactly. It was first Hamas special forces, then civilians in the second wave. And they have occupied for 3 days. It was, and by the way, the plan was to go further all the way into major air bases, into major strategic military bases.
So this wasn't a hit and run terrorist attack.
We found in their pockets, we found plans for what I think should have been months of fights. And the reason is they were banking on Hezbollah, the Houthis, and the resistance in Iraq and Syria to join. They thought, yes, we may have surprised them. We may have pulled the gun early, and we may have made the move on, you know, without coordinating it with everybody. But when they see how successful we are, they'll join. And that was a miscalculation. And yes, Nasrallah began shooting at us on October 8th, but he did not really try to occupy Northern Israel. And just so you know, Tony, we were more afraid of Nasrallah in Lebanon than of Hamas. And so in the first few hours of October 7th, the special forces of Israel were actually on their way to the north. We thought this is a distraction and the real problem is going to come from the north.
So explain to our viewers and listeners why that threat is greater.
Look, Hezbollah, if Gaza is the largest military, the largest terror base in the world, Hezbollah is the strongest military terrorist organization on planet Earth right now. They're holding 250,000 rockets. They're holding special forces, underground facilities, UAVs. They can shoot from surface to air, from surface to surface, and they can shoot from coast to sea. They have the latest technology, the latest weapons. They are the testing ground of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard for whatever new that is coming out. And so Hezbollah is out there as the front of the Iranian regime to be the buffer. In fact, Iran doesn't want Israel to attack Iran. So they created an army of proxies that will do the job for Iran and will cause us to be busy and exhausted by fighting the proxies. And we were absolutely convinced on October 7th, that morning, that the worst is actually coming from the north. And Hamas was also surprised that nothing came from the north. And that was a miracle. Tony, it was a miracle. If Israel would have been attacked simultaneously from the east, from the south, from the north, and from the southwest, I'm not sure we would have this conversation right now.
No, I was talking to a retired general who's now in the government, another agency. And he said, we failed on October the 7th. And so I pressed him on that. He said it several times. I said, all right, you mentioned you failed. Explain. Was it over-reliance on technology? What was it? He said, yes, it was over-reliance on technology, but it was also arrogance.
It was arrogance, exactly. I'm glad he said that. We underestimated them and we overestimated ourselves. And it was arrogance. And not only that, I think the military in Israel was captured in a conception that Hamas is deterred, that we're strong, and the worst is that in the last 6 months before October 7th, the military was more engaged in the political upheaval than taking care of what the military is there for.
You are listening and watching Washington Watch. We're in Jerusalem. Amir Sarfati, my guest. Amir, I want to thank you for coming down. You live actually in the northern part of Israel. You drove down to be with us today. Let's talk about what's happening up north. Just this week, number of rocket attacks, very short period of time. What's going on?
You know, over the past 1 week, more Israeli strikes in Lebanon than the last 4 months combined. We're at 4,500 strikes in Lebanon, whereas the first 4 months were less than 1,500. That means that Israel decided that we can no longer allow this situation where, for no apparent reason, we're being attacked from the north and over 82,000 Israelis are not at home. They're right. Gone. Israel's always had this agenda that if you want to fight me, fine, let's do it in your territory. Right. And now, for the first time, although we fight in their territory, northern Israel is deserted.
So explain to our viewers and listeners for just a moment, when you have the Biden administration talking about, well, we need a two-state solution, that's not even workable when you consider Samaria, Judea, the heartland of the Bible, which would essentially cut out the middle of Israel and allow them to be right there in the heart of Israel.
I think that it's a mantra that the State Department has been holding on for the longest time. Tony, if it was up to the State Department, Israel would have not been acknowledged as a state in 1940.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
So let's put it this way. But I do want to explain that there are some strong powers in the U.S. administration right now, and also some of them are behind the scenes, that are pushing hard for a two-state solution. because they are taking advantage of this crisis as an opportunity. They think that right now, everybody wants to put an end to this war. So the best thing is, boom, two states. By the way, Hamas doesn't want it. The Palestinians don't want a Jewish state next to them. They can tell you that. And Israel doesn't want it, especially now.
Well, wasn't Gaza, I mean, was it that what a two-state solution looks like?
Exactly. And you know, look, everywhere the Palestinians are saying the same thing. They're saying, Israel is Palestine. We don't want another Palestine. Our emblem is the state of Israel, the map of Israel. We teach our children that's our country. This is our country. So we're not to, for us to agree and sign on a paper that says that this piece of land is not ours, it's not going to happen.
Right.
It's never going to happen. So before you fix a solution, why don't you ask the two parties what they think about it?
That's actually kind of arrogance on America's part.
It is, but I don't think it's all of the America. I think that this administration is a puppet administration. The very big, powerful elements are behind the scenes working their way to bring about a forced solution to a problem that will never be solved politically.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah. Right. You know, I think we can have a managed peace in this region. It's going to be temporal, but I mean, at its heart, there's not a political solution. There's not a military solution.
There is. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but there were a lot of Israelis who were known as peaceniks. They believed in peace. They demanded peace. They sang for peace. They voted for peace.
They were in the kibbutz.
They lived right there. The strongest presence of peaceniks that I'm talking about lived on the border of Gaza, and they were those who were butchered by the people to whom they helped and extended a lot of aid and all of that.
And they're now filled with questions because I've talked to some of them.
Let's put it this way. 80% of them are now questioning things. 20% are still captured in that, you know, political view of, you know, it's our problem, it's our mistake, they're innocent, blah, blah, blah. But look, I've always said to be a leftist is not just a political view. It's a mental state. I'm sorry to say that. To be a liberal leftist who really, truly believe that when your enemy says he wants to kill you, he actually means well,
it's also a spiritual.
It's a spiritual.
Because you can't determine right from wrong.
So we call it spiritual.
Yeah.
But they will not agree with you.
No. They wouldn't agree with me on a lot of stuff.
That's true.
So, Amir, let's talk about, you got a new book coming out.
Correct.
On Daniel.
Yes.
A little bit of biblical prophecy there.
Huh? Yeah, absolutely. You know, Hamas may have tried to determine the future of Israel. Maybe the enemies all around us, they're trying to shape and form the future of Israel. God has already told thousands of years ago to the prophets what the future of Israel is going to be. And the most comprehensive revelation of the future of Israel was given to Daniel. And when I started writing this book, it was way before October 7th. And to have the book coming out in a couple of months, it's just amazing timing for me. So yeah, I'm urging people to go and grab it.
So where can they find copies? It doesn't come out till May.
Correct. May 4th, but they can pre-order it yet now already on Amazon. And if the pre-orders numbers are good, we will find this book in secular places such as Walmart and Target, places that are promoting the exact opposite agendas.
So what questions will this book answer for people?
This, first of all, it's a book that will explain the book of Revelation much better for you because the two goes together. Jesus himself talked about what is written in the book of Daniel, explaining the future events of Israel, but also it will help you understand the complete picture of the future of the people and the city of Jerusalem. And let's face it, it's all about Jerusalem. Even Hamas's attack is Taufan al-Aqsa. It's the flood of al-Aqsa.
Yes.
It's all about that.
That is the Temple Mount.
Exactly.
That's what they've fought this entire battle.
Yep. So we're going to talk about that. What's going to happen? Who's going to run the show? And what the future is going to bring? It's phenomenal because even at the time, Daniel was so accurate, and he would tell King Nebuchadnezzar of a future Greek king that will come without even knowing who is, I mean, it's unbelievable.
It is.
So just the way it was so accurate then, it is even more accurate now and more important now to hold on to the biblical truths and plans of God and not to let the enemy mess up with our minds.
All right, Amir, we only have like 10 seconds left. So where are we in God's timetable?
I believe we're literally right before the great war of Ezekiel. And I believe that that great war of Ezekiel will eventually lead to the rise of the Antichrist, which means, as far as I'm concerned, we're out of here before that.
Well, brother, I appreciate you praying for you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Amir Sarfati, check out the new book on Daniel. You have a website as well. We'll have that at the website. All right, folks, we're out of time for today. From Jerusalem, I'm Tony Perkins. You know what to do when you prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand. By all means, keep standing.